STR podcasts are made possible through the generous donations of our listeners. To support STR today, go to str.org and click on Donate in the upper right-hand corner.
I'm Brett Kunkel, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Podcast. I need more time. A 30-minute talk is not enough to adequately train students. In fact, a single hour-long talk is not enough. But sadly, many of our youth leaders, parents, leaders don't understand what's required to prepare our youth for the secular challenges of our culture. Just last month, I was invited to speak to a large youth ministry at a church in Southern California. And I had just 1 week with them to role play an atheist. And so I had about 250 high school students that showed up the night that I was to do the role play. I was actually introduced as a local community college professor there, and the students were told that I was there to discuss my atheistic beliefs with them. And so then I got up and I launched into my typical 10-minute introduction where I talk about, you know, kind of how I go about deciding that there is no God. And then I open it up for discussion because I want a lot of interaction with the students because I want to be able to see kind of what kind of arguments that they'll offer and then, you know, to kind of shoot them down to offer objections to their arguments. And so students offered a host of objections and I quickly shot each one down. And as the role play continued, I could see the students' frustration grow at their inability to argue well for Christianity and also my ability to deflect their challenges. And after about 40 minutes or so, I let them in on my secret. I tell them, you know, I'm not really an atheist, but I'm a Christian. And at first, whenever I do the reveal, students are always shocked. But their shock turns into kind of this huge collective sigh of relief as they realize that I'm actually on their side. And if you want to see some video of this, you can actually see video of my role plays on our youth website, strplace.org. And if you go to strplace.org, on the right-hand side, you'll see a YouTube icon. Click on that. That'll take you to our YouTube page. And you can just do a search for the different atheist role plays that I do. And I think I have like three or four posted there. So you can actually see video of how I go about doing my role play and the kinds of arguments that I launch into with students. So, of course, just like most groups, these students were relieved I was on their side. And then I was able to explain the purpose behind my role play. Tell them, you know, why did we do that? Why did I pose as an atheist? And then it's a great opportunity to challenge them to uncover the evidence for Christianity. And then I was able to give them some resources. Now, typically students are thankful for the challenge, but these students were a little different. They were exceedingly thankful. I mean, student after student approached me afterwards to say thanks. In fact, I had mentioned in my comments after the role play, I had talked to the students about how I take this training, the apologetic training that I do, and we put it into action on our Berkeley mission trip. And I had students who came up and said, hey, how can we do one of those trips? They were excited about the idea of being trained and then having the confidence to talk with real live atheists and skeptics and students at Berkeley. So I was encouraged by their response, but I was disappointed I wouldn't be doing additional training with such eager students. Thankfully, I was wrong. The youth ministry's leadership contacted us the next day, and their students were abuzz with excitement from the atheist role play. The feedback that they got from students was very positive. Students were just—they had come to life from being challenged, and the bar was put up there high. And something, you know, was expected from them. It's something that they weren't able to meet, but students responded very positively to this, And this was the feedback not only from the students, but their small group leaders. These students went into small groups afterwards, and their small group leaders said they were just, the students were just buzzing. Students went home and talked to their parents about that night at youth group. It was so unique. And the parents had told the youth ministry leaders, hey, this was great. And so the youth ministry called to see if I would return the following week to do more training. And of course, I gladly accepted. Like I said, I need more time. I was happy to have another shot in training these young people, because the atheist role play was just the beginning. That's to help a real need become a felt need. Students have a real need for apologetic training, for worldview training, for theological training, to know the truth of Christianity. But they don't always feel that need. And when they are confronted by someone who they think is an atheist, and they're confronted by atheist arguments, and they realize that they are not up to the challenge, then that becomes a felt need. And then they're actually ready to be trained. They're more open to training. And so, but this experience got me thinking about the church's approach to training the next generation. And maybe not even just the next generation, but the people in our congregations just in general. Clearly, the apologetics training I did with these students was an exception to the regular teaching they received at church and at home, and this was evidenced, I think, by the students' complete inability to answer my challenges during the role play. So, you know, they weren't prepared for that. But even so, I could only get, initially, a 1 45-minute shot at training the students. And it was only after seeing really how poorly students performed against a quote-unquote atheist, and then the students' hunger for more training, that I was invited back. But then, you know, again, only for one additional night, for an additional hour. In an hour here and there simply won't cut it when it comes to training our young people. Even atheists recognize this fact. This is a quote from Charles Potter in his book, Humanism, A New Religion. He says this: "Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching? Look, if the majority of students in our churches are being educated in public schools, Monday through Friday, for 6 to 8 hours each day, what are the Christian parents and churches doing in response? Right. An hour of Sunday school? An hour of youth group on Wednesday nights? Well, if that's the case, then Charles Potter is right. This approach won't stem the tide of an aggressive secular culture. We simply have to spend more time training our students. And, you know, if you look around, I look at the Mormons, and I see Mormons who require their young people in high school to go to a Mormon seminary 5 days a week before they go to their public school. And they get training every morning, early in the morning. It's not it's nothing exciting. It's nothing highly programmed oftentimes. It's an older person in the church who's simply teaching out of LDS manuals. But it's 5 days a week, and you get Mormon young people who get thoroughly trained in the doctrines of their church. Do we have anything like this in our typical churches? I mean, think about it right now. Does your church, does your youth group offer any kind of systematic training of its young people? Probably not. And now, those of you who are parents or youth leaders who have students who are in Christian schools, you're at an advantage because you've hopefully got a school, your students are in a school where they are getting this training on a regular basis. Or if you homeschool, you've got an advantage. But if your kids are in public school, which many of our, probably most of our Christian kids are, then you've got to take this issue seriously. Thankfully, I'm getting more time with groups where the leadership gets it. Already, five different youth ministries and Christian schools have booked our mission trips in the first half of 2012. We've received inquiries from several other groups. In addition, I'm scheduled to speak at a number of youth camps and conferences. And of course, that's a place where you get more time that's dedicated to training, not just a single session, but multiple sessions. And that's what it's going to take. Quantity, not just quality, matters when it comes to equipping our youth. And so here's your homework for this week. What I want you to do is I want you to evaluate a week or 2 weeks, and specifically evaluate the amount of time that your young person, whether they're in your youth group or it's your own kid or the students in your Christian school, if you're a teacher, evaluate how much time, what's the quantity of time that's being dedicated to training our young people in a Christian worldview. And keep track of it. Write it down on a piece of paper and keep track for a couple weeks. And then compare that to the amount of time that they are being trained in a public school and also the amount of time that maybe they're being trained by pop culture, as they spend, on average, 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen. And so look at the quantity of time and then just compare and see if the quantity of time that they are getting in training for a Christian worldview, apologetic training, knowing what they believe and why they believe it, see if that it all matches up to the training that they're getting from a secular culture.
You've been listening to Stand to Reason. Our podcasts and radio program are made possible by friends of this ministry through their generous support. You can support STR by making a gift online at str.org.